Well, good morning, Kairos. How are y'all doing? It's good to see you. Morning for those who know. Well, it's amazing to be here. It's amazing to see your smiling faces, and I feel so grateful for the opportunity to be able to share in the word with the church community that I've come to know and to love. I wanted to take this time now to go to the Lord in prayer and just ask for his blessings over this. Heavenly Father, we lift up our time and these words to you. Whether we are distracted by the busyness of the morning when we walked in, or we were walking firmly in step with the Spirit, Lord, we ask you to come into our presence. We are eternally grateful for your Son, Jesus, the sacrifice and the example that he set forth for us. Open our hearts and minds to be moved in the ways that he has asked us to. Amen. Well, if the cat isn't already out of the bag, and this is your first time at Kairos, welcome. This is my first time preaching a full sermon at Kairos, so we both got something new going on here. Before we get going, though, I do want to see if you guys can help me in following this protocol. Hold on one sec. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a neuralizer, and I'm going to need you to look right here if I ask you to. I'm kidding. Hopefully, I will not need to bring that out, but if I do, I'll just erase my own memory. For everybody who doesn't know, that is from Men in Black. Just watch the first one, 1997. It's the best one. You don't need to go any further than that. For the kid, something else that I do want to point out, because you're probably wondering what's going on, is why is there a pile of clothes here? Well, this is my pile of dirty clothes. They're not actually dirty, though. There's a figure of speech. That would be gross. But we are walking through a sermon series where we're talking about the emotions from inside out too. And this pile of dirty clothes represents the emotion that's going to be highlighted throughout today's sermon. And that is anxiety. Here is the character that represents anxiety in the movie. And whether you're just looking at that character or looking at this pile of dirty clothes that's laying across this table, you might be having a little bit of anxiety yourself. Getting up here, preaching in front of my own church community, that gives me anxiety too. But I know that we can get through it, and I know that if I slow down and we walk through this time, that the Lord is going to be with us. The scripture passage that I want you to focus your minds and your hearts on today is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And it says, "Come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, where these three verses are situated in Matthew chapter 11 is by no mistake, they are the last three verses of chapter 11. Come to me, a culmination and an invitation that Jesus brings us. We're going to walk through these verses, but first I want to give some context to how we got here, where we're going, what is to come, and like everything that happened before this. There are three moments that happened in this chapter prior to these verses that I wanted to share with you. Because before Jesus spoke the profound words, "Come to me, all you weary and burdened," he was frustrated. Jesus was frustrated. Jesus was frustrated because he had been rejected, his message was doubted, and his purpose was in question from God's people. The first doubt that was expressed was from a very unlikely source in John the Baptist. John was in prison, and he'd heard about the deeds that Jesus was performing, and he called his disciples, and he sent them to Jesus with a question. He said this, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Why was John doubting if Jesus was the Messiah? Was he expecting more sword and shield? Was he expecting an overthrow of Roman occupation? Jesus responds to John's question with this. He says, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Jesus made a point to tell John and John's disciples, to invite them to pay attention to what they heard and saw Jesus do. So I pose you a question, Kairos. How can we still move the message of Jesus forward even when those closest to us express doubt? The second moment of rejection and doubt comes when Jesus is speaking to the crowds in the towns of Galilee, and he is addressing how the Israelites and the religious leaders were not willing to accept. They were doubting that the way that Jesus or John has chosen to live as a good and right way in following God. Jesus said, "To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Friends, the way of Jesus is not the ways of this world. Jesus's way was even foreign to God's own people, the Israelites, which makes this invitation at the end of the chapter all the more powerful. Jesus goes on to share that despite witnessing God's miracles, or Jesus' miracles, the people in the town after town were still rejecting God's message through Christ and were not repenting before the Lord. And it was at this very point in the chapter that Jesus' tone starts to switch. And this is that third moment that I wanted to share with you. You know, when I was talking about how Jesus made it a point to tell John and John's disciples to pay attention to what they heard and saw Jesus do? Well, even in rejection and doubt, Jesus goes to the Lord in prayer and praises God. Verse 25 says, "At the time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." All of these rejections from the wise. No, God had a different plan for Jesus, and Jesus had come to realize this, that God has hidden the truth from the people that were relying on their own knowledge and understanding, and instead revealed the truth to the little children, the unlearned, the willing to follow and to listen. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear, for God is bringing his love to the world in a new way. We have context now. There was rejection. There was doubt from God's own people. And this is where verse 28 and this invitation enters into the story. "Come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This is what Jesus does. He invites, he brings you in. "Come to me, all you weary and burdened." But who are the weary and burdened? Who is Jesus speaking to right here? Jesus was calling all of God's people, even those that maybe have rejected and doubted him. The people who were carrying their faith as a load on their back that had become a burden because they were following the actions of the Pharisees that had taken the law and the commandments from God and had used it unfairly when ministering the Israelites and using it to seek their own gain and power. Think about that teacher maybe that you have at school that keeps changing the standard at which it takes to get an A on your test. The standard changes every single time that you turn it in. You're like, "Well, I thought this is what we were supposed to do, right? But I guess it's not." Or maybe that boss that micromanages you and continues to put more and more work upon you saying, "No, this is the way that it needs to get done," when you know that you've been able to do it in a different way and it still got done. Just constantly pressing on you. There is no encouragement in their vocabulary. The weight was heavy to carry the responsibility that they had, especially when their sins were met with guilt and shame from the people who led them. Jesus knows this, and he was inviting them into something more, something new to be lived into. And if only that they would accept this invitation and come before him, he promised rest. "Come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, let me first establish what a yoke is and which yoke Jesus is referring to. If you could get the first yoke up on screen, please. Not that one. And trust me, it took me a while to figure out that it was not that one. The second one is the yoke that Jesus is referring to. So, those are oxen up on the screen, and the online Merriam-Webster dictionary describes this yoke as a wooden bar or frame by which two draft animals, such as oxen, are joined at the heads or necks for working together. Here's a way that they would use the yokes. Sometimes oxen would be strapped together, with one being a younger and less experienced oxen, has not plowed as much land, and they would yoke it to a stronger and more experienced oxen. And over time, they would start to work slowly together while one leads and the other learns how to gain strength and learn to carry their equal weight. In this verse, Jesus is contrasting these yokes. The yoke of Christ versus the yoke that they currently carry. The weary and burdened share a yoke with leaders who stand on a pedestal and lead and enforce with guilt and shame. Leaders who use the law and commandments to judge you through a microscope and follow each and every single one of your actions, and very quick to point a finger at you, but not quick to turn it on themselves. Leaders who use the burden of the yoke, the task of faith, as a tool to gain their own advantage and use it as power for them. With Jesus carrying this yoke will be different. Jesus is not shy. There is still a yoke. There is still work. There is still effort and sacrifice that you have to make when following Jesus. And following Jesus is going to challenge their way of life. He was not hiding that from them. But Jesus promises that he will be the one guiding and working alongside them as they learn to carry the yoke of Christ. Not using the law as a tool for gain, but instead turning the law into a way that they can love and humbly serve each other. Jesus promised salvation if only they will come to him, repent and believe. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. N.T. Wright said in one of his commentaries on the book of Matthew, you just need to be a little child. Jesus had come to know his Father the way of a son does, not by studying books about him, but by living in his presence, listening for his voice, and learning from him as an apprentice does from a master, by watching and imitating. Learn from me. Watch what I do. It's almost as if Jesus is saying here, if you just give me this chance and follow me, then you can see the ways in which I live are different. You can see the ways in which I lead are different. You can see how to carry this yoke with me together, and we will be able to lead, or I will help lead you with grace and mercy. It will be a life aligned with the one and true Holy God, a life that will bring rest and a teacher who will not stray from them. Now, this is something that I could get behind. Learn to live with the ways of Jesus, walking with the Holy Spirit, learning to find rest in Jesus. Don't we want Kairos to be a place where we can find this rest? Don't we want Kairos to be a place where we can walk in step with the Lord and in the Holy Spirit, to be refreshed and renewed every time we experience it? Rest from an anxiety-filled world that only looks at your performance and appearance and likes you based upon those things. Rest from constantly trying to be formed to the new ways of the world and a new algorithm, and people constantly trying to conform you in the way that they think is good. Rest from lives that are lived in front of screens instead of in the community of God's people. Rest from our own minds that continue to pile cloth upon cloth and anxiety upon anxiety that continues to fill up and fill up. Rest from getting wrapped up in the chaos of this world and the social media and the news that spews at you every single day, all of the concerns that and tragedy that are plaguing this world. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Kairos, we are always only an invitation away. Our anxiety, our stress, our pile of dirty clothes that always seems to gather and never end. And the worst thing about it is we will push it further and further back until it comes forward all at once and almost seems to paralyze us in every move that we make. Friends, we must come to Jesus' feet and surrender. And then slowly, as followers of Christ, when we choose to accept this invitation and we take on the yoke of Christ, we seek to live in his presence. He himself is a light burden, and his love is easy. We can watch the way he heals. We can watch the way he prays. We can watch the way he forgives and interacts with others. We can learn to stand on the foundation of the gospel. We can learn the fear of the Lord. We too can spread the good news of the gospel far and wide and be renewed and find rest in Jesus, so that when we go to pick up our towels and dirty clothes, we no longer just trust and work with the hands that we have, but we are now guided by the hands and work of Jesus. Friends, we learn new ways to take on the daily rush of anxieties, new ways to fold and put away our clothes. Jesus' invitation was to all. We might be from separate families, have different friend groups, have different work lives, different work anxieties, different home situations. You might have experienced tragedy that I could not even begin to fathom. But the good news is we have a Lord and Savior that's going to walk through it all. But we must stay on the path. We have set out a path before us as a community to encourage one another daily to follow in the ways of Jesus. We are the hands and the feet. We are called to come alongside our community to help the weary and the burden. We must not only jump into the fire of our own lives, but into the fire of all of those around us, and together yoke ourselves to the one true King. Come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen.